Now, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of FELA, sponsors John West have come together with the GEA, the LGFA and Camogie Association to give under 15 club sides throughout the country an opportunity to showcase talent and represent their counties at Croke Park and Thurles. Following the FELA na Gael and FELA na No competitions last August, teams from 32 counties were entered into a draw, offering the prize of a trip to play at GEA headquarters in non-competitive celebratory events over the Halloween bank holiday weekend of Saturday, Sunday and Monday upcoming. And delighted to be joined by the Galway football captain and Galway BFM's newest commentator, Shane Walsh, with us here. And first, Shane, thanks a million for joining us.
Cheers, Darren. No, delighted to be on. I said it was lovely working with Jonathan there at the weekend as well for the club championship game. So, no, it's an enjoyable experience.
I'll come back to FELA in a moment, but just as you mentioned, I know obviously you prefer to be out playing at this time of the year, like, no, but as you said there, for yourself, it's always great to be trying new experiences. And how did you find that experience being in the commentary box for two games, which is always a tough challenge when you do it the first time as well, but how did you find that experience?
And it was nice, and like obviously you have a different view of things, like from being down on the pitch and playing, and you're on the, I suppose you're on that level, the level playing field, it's hard to see everything, whereas like when you're up, I suppose, up in the country here, it's actually nice to be able to get a right view of the game. And you know, I suppose for me, you're trying to see what way both teams are kind of setting up to play, and you know, that what both teams are trying to do as well. And you know, it was actually it's quite interesting, like, and you can see why I suppose all the analysts and stats and that will be up that side, you know, in stands like that, watching the games, like. So no, it was an interesting view, I suppose. Obviously I was watching all my peers playing, and you know, I'd be jealous of them playing, but yeah, I suppose, you know, the next best thing, I suppose, is talking about them playing as well. But obviously watching football, playing football, I love it all. So like been there with them and watching it, it was a very enjoyable experience.
We certainly want to see you on the field to play anyway, but we're delighted to have you in the team now, and hopefully the first of many. Maybe we'll do it together again sometime. Just from what you saw, Killannon and Mount Ballymaloe won the two games you were doing, and of course, Conor Finn and Mike Quillen are true. No, Conor Finn actually you saw. But anyway, you see the four teams now in action. From what you've seen so far, who do you think are going to be county senior football champions this year?
It was always something that it was probably hard to pinpoint one team, but like you're probably looking at like the way Mike Cullen battled back from the 4 points down against Tuam to come back and win that game. Like, so that's a really good sign of a team, and a battled hardened team as well. Like, and look, they've kind of been slowly kind of getting going as the year has gone on. I think they've kind of went from level one and they're starting to go up the rungs now, and like they still are the team to beat. I think after the weekend, Montpellier will push them very, very close. It's so hard to know, because Montpellier do have it in the locker. You know, they fancy themselves at halftime last year in the county final, and that didn't pan out for them. Like, so it's such a tight championship. I think, like, it's obviously Conor Finn have gone through a bit of a change as well at the moment. So like, but look, they still have some lovely footballers there as well. Like, and you know, lads, you'll be looking forward to training within the Galway setup as well. So like, it's an interesting championship. And then like, because Killannon didn't come in through, and you know, this is their first semi-final, I'd say since Kevin was playing back in the day. And you know, it's some achievement for their club, like. And jokes that the more than says they're not the biggest of areas, and it's just, yeah, I said it's great to see them in there. I said the local derby win the last day, and I'm sure they're happy with that. But Joe, look, they've nothing to lose now, and you never know. Like, Conor Finn, obviously, as I said, they're changing. Killannon have the chances, but you just never know. But I just think at the moment, going by over the weekend anyways, I think Mike Cullen is starting to pick up speed at the right time.
Mike Cullen, get the nod from yourself. And before we move on, Shane, it'd be remiss of me, because there's another big county final coming up involving your own club, Kilkerran Clonburn, against Clare Galway in the ladies' football final. No doubt you're looking forward to seeing that contest as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. Obviously my sister is playing with them as well, so she's under a different alias in that she's a married woman now with Ashley Costello, but no, we still claim her as our own. But they've had some rivalry over the last couple of years. Like, even I was up with their game in the group, like, and Joe, there's nothing between the two sides. Like, and obviously our girls have had the upper hand the last couple of years against Clare Galway. So hopefully, from our perspective, we can keep that going on Saturday or Sunday week.
Again, we're looking forward to that weekend as well. Let's go back to what we were here to talk about first. Of course, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of FELA. Exciting times. Like, for me, FELA and community games are always the two standout events of our childhood as well. And no doubt Fela was one of your introductions to playing football, and I suppose getting exposed to a wider scene in regards to what you can achieve in the game.
Yeah, no, it was. Like, Joe, I think the first thing you'd always, like, for me, it was that exposure to meeting so many new people, so many, you know, people from everywhere and anywhere, I suppose, is probably the way to put it, in that, like, you know, at that age, I suppose your exposure had only been probably your friends, like, you just had started secondary school, and, you know, you had that bit of exposure. But, like, you know, in the grander scheme of things, like, you people come from different areas. Like, there was a team from Carlow that came up to Clonburn before, and they're a club, Airogue, like, and, you know, it's the community, it's the sense of that community. And I suppose our club do things very well like that as well, and that, you know, bringing everyone together and everyone gets engrossed in what's going on. And, you know, and for the kids, they buy into that, they feed off that kind of atmosphere. And, you know, it's great for them. Then they can go out and enjoy themselves, play their games, and, you know, they have the skills challenges there. And it's a very entertaining period of Fela. Like, it's something that every player, I think, would always remember their days of Fela. And, you know, I said, you know, like, the Kerr Finn lads are probably the most you'd hear on about, because they won all Ireland Felas before, and, you know, they still talk about it to this day. Like, and, you know, like, that's something that, you know, even at under 14, you can see how it stood, you know, it stood the test of time, in the sense that it's still as prestigious to them as probably winning an all Ireland in senior level.
As great as winning those All Irelands would be, though, for me, it's always the parade.
Oh, but yeah, like, I suppose, yeah, there's always that to it as well. But I just think the whole event itself is just, it's a lovely time for kids, and it's great exposure at that age to have that experience, to mingle with different people. And, Joe, you never know, you could make friends, and, Joe, in years to come, you look back and say, you could be on inter-county setups, and you say, do you remember that time we played Fela? Like, and that's what a lot of it is. Like, players will still always remember those times.
Let's talk inter-county. First, congratulations on the All-Star nomination.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, I said, look, it's nice. It's nice to be nominated, but I said, look, to be honest, I said, from my own perspective, I'd prefer to see Galway winning Connacht titles and being challenging for an All-Ireland final. But look, that's part of the process, I suppose, too. But look, hopefully the biggest thing will be that maybe in 2022 that we'll make a right go of it, and you'll see a lot more Galway players been nominated for All-Stars and receiving All-Stars.
And before we go forward as well, let's just quickly, 2021, disappointing year, I suppose, in one way, a frustrating Connacht final for yourself after playing so well and then picking up the injury as well. When you reflect on the season just gone, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, look, it's definitely, obviously, it accumulates to the final point of when you exit the championship or the year finishes. And so for me, obviously, it's just a lot of frustration in relation to that, because, look, I make no bones about it, I suppose, in some ways, that, look, that was taken from my hands, I suppose, in a way. And, like, that's the most annoying thing from my own perspective in playing the game. And so no matter what time anyone goes out onto a pitch, like, be it if it's a muscle injury or something like that happens, or it's an accidental collision on the ball, you say, look, fair enough that these things happen. Like, but, Joe, you know, something like that happens off the ball, Joe, you know, it's quite frustrating, because, Joe, you know, like, I was probably, even myself, felt I was trying to get sharper as the year went on, and probably was accumulating to a point where I felt there was something brewing in my hands, you know, and then that was kind of taken away from me. And just it's frustrating. And, Joe, you know, just even, like, I always say it's for, even for us on the day, like, you look back and you say, like, Sean Kelly got injured, Rob Ferdinand, she got injured, I effectively played on injured. And, you know, it's hard on the team, because, like, you take out any of those kind of caliber of players out of anyone's team, you just lose that I suppose the belief would drain a small bit, because you're seeing some of your more experienced players are leaving the field. And it's tough. Like, I always say, it's easier to go into a game not having those players, because you know what you have, whereas jumping into a game and losing players continuously through the game, it is a tough way to kind of bounce back from. But look, that's something we have to learn from ourselves, because there is plenty of talent there in Galway to have in that respect. And it's just a case of maybe getting over that element as well. But look, there's work for us to do as players. And so that's the most thing, I suppose, everyone can reflect now on the years gone by, like, as 2020 and 2021 kind of rolled into one nearly. So it's just important that players enjoy the downtime now, enjoy the break from it, because it has been fairly hectic and training has been intense, especially when you get back after COVID. it was literally 100 miles an hour straight away. Like, so it's just important that players take their time, you know, to reassess themselves, kind of, as I said, reflect on the year, and then look at getting their body ready to go again, because 2022 is a new year now. And when that comes, like, we want to be ready for it, because we want to give show goal for what it truly is, not, and I don't feel we've done that in the last 2 years.
Do you feel, though, there's a sign, like, even when you take what happened to you that day against Mayo and then what they achieved the following day and who knows the final, is there a feeling of a what if now, or do you feel like you have to really step up now in 2022 as a unit overall and, you know, put Galway back on the map in regards competing for All-Ireland silverware?
Well, yeah, I like, even look, there's always room for improvements. Even like, if I, Joe, I don't know if you heard James Horan speaking there on Monday, but like, he was even talking about like things, and like, we probably would suffer a bit in the same as them in that playing the game for 70 minutes. Like, we haven't been doing that, and Joe Mayo haven't done that, and that probably ended up hurting them the most, because they didn't play for long enough in a final, and Joe, they obviously would people would have said they didn't play as well against us in the first half. Played very well in the second half, same against Dublin. Like, so, Joe, there's always that areas, and like, that's for us, it's probably similar. Like, we played very well in the first half and then we didn't in the second half. And Joe, people have put that down to what Mayo did, but I do believe that we, I suppose, obviously with the loss of personnel, and just, I suppose, we needed to tweak one or two things ourselves on the field, and that just didn't happen on the day. But look, it's that we such a young side. Like I said, it's I always say, like, I was the second oldest on the team this year behind Paul. And Joe, it's weird to say that I came in as being the youngest player when I started off with Galway. And now I think I'd be the second oldest starting on the team. It's weird, but I suppose you're always hoping probably the day it come, because you'll be around that while. But Joe, there's plenty of time for us to get things right. It's just a matter of, as I said, players just need to get themselves ready now again, and Joe, you know, I said, enjoy the jam time, because it's very rare that it comes, and then get ready to give a right good go of it again in 2022.
I'm looking forward to that. Just as you mentioned there, we'll be in the second oldest. I know there's plenty of mileage in your clock yet. Johnny Duane stepped away during the week. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's you'd be disappointed. Like, Johnny said, look, he wears his heart in his sleeve, and Galway is part of that. And look, he never left any stone unturned. In fairness to Johnny, like, he was always that one player. Like, there's always those players in dressing rooms that you could easily row in behind. And like, Johnny was one of those players. Like, he was the ultimate team player. Like, you know, trained so hard. Always challenged. Even like myself personally, I know during the year I said he would have always been the one that would have been in my face, like pushing you in training. Like, and Joe, sometimes people don't even think of those things, they're worried about themselves. Whereas he was, Joe, again, putting Galway first, he was challenging the players around him, and along with that, he was challenging himself. Like, and Joe, that's the kind of selfless player he was. Like, and it's just, I said, look, you'd be disappointed. Obviously, he's, Joe, he's his own reason, I suppose, for it. And Joe, I know he was, he had a bit of a knee injury as well, like, and it might have played a part in it as well. But Joe, you know, in fairness to him, I said, you couldn't ask for much more, Johnny, in fairness to him. He just, as I said, he gave everything. He left nothing behind. And Joe, you know, as I said, he always had Galway's best interests. And Joe, you know, the players would all say the same thing about him. Like, everyone could get on with Johnny, and just very good lad in the dressing room, like, spoke with great authority and always showed great leadership.
Just a few questions, Shane, before I let you go. I have to ask you about Proposal B. It's, everybody's talking about it this week. It's going to change the whole complexion if it comes through on Saturday. What's your feelings on Proposal B? Is it the way forward? Would you be in favour of it, or is there a better way?
I suppose it's like Ant at the moment. Look, there's so many changes over the last couple of years in relation to rules and everything like it. I do think it's worth a trial period, because I just feel that the imbalance that's there at the moment in relation to, like, the weaker teams getting better and the stronger teams staying strong, that seems to, like, that's what's happened at the moment, is that we've the strong teams, they don't mind if there's a change or not, whereas the weaker teams, I'm sure, would love a change, because they need more games. Like, for anyone, even for a manager coming in, like, a manager wants to see his team playing, and like, it's very hard to build a team around if you have only a handful of games. Like, Joe, like, that's the big thing for me, is that the more games, the more players learn about each other, the more chance they have to, I suppose, it's just that relationship. You're trying to build that chemistry in the team, and then you'll find your strongest 15 or your 5 impact players or 6 impact players, and then you'll always have maybe the players that will come in because of an injury that could do well that you didn't think was going to be part of your plan. So, like, that's all entwined, I think, with this Proposal B. And plus, it's just the element of having something to play for, because like every team is still has a chance to win All Ireland at the start of the year, and then at the end of it, you still have a chance to win something, be it for Sam Maguire or the Tailteann Cup. And I think the GAA's perspective would be that I would expect them to big up the Tailteann Cup, like Joe, because at the end of the day, that's going to be a final, and Joe, that can still be nearly as highly rated as Joe, like your All Ireland semi final or something like that. That you want the teams to feel that when we accomplish this, we are going to step up. That is a step up in for us into it for next year. Like, and that's kind of where you want it to, what you want to happen from it, so that those teams are building and building and building. That team Z is slowly picking its way up to Team A. Like, and that's where you kind of want to go to. Like, that's where I would expect this to kind of lead to. But as I said, it just, for me, I definitely think it could be a good thing. And look, if not, it's still worth the trial period. As I said, it's still, there might be some tweaks down the line with it, but look, you see the rule changes, like, so like they've tried so many rule changes, like the even the mark rule, like I you know, it's a handy way out, if you ask me, for a forward in relation to that, and it's something that you wouldn't mind seeing going out of the game again, but because it's not a natural instinct. I always find the mark awkward, because you're running at full tilt for a ball, and next thing is all of a sudden you catch it, and it's like usually you're going on and you're trying to get on your man, whereas like it's like, okay, so I'll put my hand in. Even though I find it very hard, the come down of catching the ball 100 miles an hour and then stopping and then going through a free kick routine in a certain amount of seconds, like it's a strange one, if you ask me. Like, but yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing those things. And then there's obviously, I said, the big thing for me, obviously, I would prefer to see happen would be the support for referees. Like, I think they don't get enough support at the moment. It's a very, very difficult job, and the ones who get the most stick at the end of the game, because they're deemed as they having the impact on whether a team wins or loses nearly most of the time, is the referees. And I think they need to be, they need support. Like, I do think something like the TMO version of what's there in rugby could definitely benefit the game in relation to letting the game flow like it always flows. But if there's something happening, an altercation off the ball, that there's a camera there watching it, and the referee is watching that, and he's saying to the referee initially, look, spotted an incident off the ball there, it's in black card territory, and says that would be my recommendation. And whether or not they want to go with that or else go with something maybe on screen for the referee to see themselves, but I think if a referee is overlooking that, it's a referee's verdict of implying the rule of the law, or the law of the land, I'll say, and they then can say to the ref, you have my back, and to give him a black card. That's what this exact foul is. And because generally speaking, it's going to be a black or red anyways. You're not going to be going back really for a yellow card unless the ref has spotted something like a lay sheet on the, you know, just as the play is going on. But I just think they definitely could do with that support, because the game has moved on so quickly. The new rules, obviously, they're trying to deal with as well. Like the refs have to think as well. Like, and you have a ref, you have umpires, and it just, you can always get lost in the moment watching the game as it's flown by. So I just think that it's definitely an area that can look for improvement inside. And like the structures, yeah, it'd be grand to have that as well. But I just think, like, you have to think about the here and now. And like, part of that is the structures, but also part that is having the game flowing. And you want the best players playing, you don't want them put off because of instances off the ball that are happening, or lads being physically targeted, because essentially you want those players to be playing. And like, for me, the big thing is that, and like Joe, even been down at under-9s and under-10s trainings, like kids see what's happening in games. Like, they're no fools. Like, they're watching what's happening. And like, Joe, it's so important that you're putting the best message out to them. Like for me, there was nobody coached to pull a man down, like, as far as I'm aware. And I said I don't want to go preaching too much about backs here, but that would be the best defender. But you was always coached to stay on your feet. Joe, it's a near hand tackle. You're tackling the ball. You're turning to your weaker side. Like, they were what I was coached anyways. Now, maybe my coach was wrong. Maybe it was a case of going pulling the lad down to the ground. Maybe, but I must have missed that training session. But I didn't miss too many, to be honest. And it's interesting, like, you know, as in, if I want to go wrestling, I go somewhere else for it, like, you know. But that's my own personal opinion on it. But I do think it's definitely an area that can help the game have that, get rid of that cynicism that's in it.
A training session was either on Match of the Day or Sky Sports Super Sunday, I'd imagine, Shane. But just even taking what you said in there as well, do you feel like, and there's a lot of rule changes there, and you've spoken about one in particular you wouldn't be in favour of, and of course what needs to be done. Have the new rules made it even slightly better? I know there's a long way to go. I'm not saying it's made it right, but have they improved the game of football in the last couple of years even gradually?
It's hard to say. Obviously, like the kickout mark is probably the biggest one that's probably helped, because you have that bonus of catching the ball. You see, like, everything is played on stats now, and it's like, if you have more possession of the ball, you're deemed you're going to win the game. So essentially, why would a player kick in a ball if he's not 100% comfortable kicking a ball? It takes away a small bit, like, the skill element, I feel, has came back a bit in I suppose the big thing, because, like, for me, it's like that you I've embraced the challenge of kicking a ball in, like, to give a good, really good kick pass into Damo or whoever is inside, Desi or Rob Finnerty, or, so, like, that's what I'd be looking to do, is to kick that good ball in. And it doesn't matter that there's a mark behind it or anything like that. I just want to kick the ball to give the forward the best chance of winning the ball, and plus it's a quicker route to goal when the ball moves quicker. Like, so it's about trying to expand on that. Like, that's what you really want to do, is to move the ball quickly. And the mark rule, while it promoted kicking, but, like, it's now promoted a kind of a free to free kick. Like, and, you know, I say, like, well, it's grand to get the ball kicking, but, like, that shouldn't be the case anyways. Like, teams should be, you know, I don't know, that'd be my thinking now. But again, some teams are going to play to their own strengths, and everyone's strengths are different. I'll admit that. But I just think that the mark rule, I just think I just don't see any benefit to it, because someone kicks a ball from just outside the 45 and someone catches the ball 10 or 15 yards inside that, it's a mark. I'm kind of like, you know, it's just cheap kind of stuff. I don't know, just there's no, but I'd be one of those forwards that loves to take a man on and you know, love that challenge of seeing, can the defender mark you? And, you know, you want to test yourself, give the best. Like for me, it's not just win the ball and that's it. Like, you want to be able to win the ball and then turn and beat your man. And, you know, for me, that's a huge thing for a forward, when you can go take on your man, beat him, because next thing you're saying, I have the confidence to take you on, I have the ability to do it, and I'm going to keep doing it all day. And straight away, you're going to have that back on the back foot. Like, whereas on the mark, it's slightly different, you know. But I do think that the kick-up mark has probably been the biggest help. And obviously, the black card is helping in relation to, I suppose, helping with the cynical fouls towards the end of the game. But I definitely, even that, I think that could be upgraded. Now, it has been, obviously, with the 21 yards, inside the 21 yard, if the ref deems there was a goal chance of a penalty. Like, but I don't see why at the end of a game, if they do it up the field, why that can be brought in for a 14 yard free if it's up to the point in it and they're trying to, because I know I can go back to our ladies, like the most obvious one with our ladies, where there was a shot clock, or you have the clock winding down in their All-Ireland final against Moran Abbey for Kilkerrin Kilburn. And so at the end of the game, Moran Abbey, all they did was just basically started fouling our girls, getting the sin bin, and Joe running down the clock, and our girls didn't essentially weren't able to kick a score because there was the time taken for the foul, the card, and then the time was up and the game was over. Like, and they lost by a point, and like, that's very frustrating, like, for anyone, like Joe, be it my own club or be it any other association. Like, you don't want to see that in games. You want to see, like, that's the heart and mouth moment, that I think the games where you don't know what's going to happen. No more than like the Anadolu Montbello game, it was played in very good spirits at the weekend, and it was great to see just in the game ball being launched into the edge of the square, Joe, mayhem inside there, Damon got the goal. Like, it was brilliant to see. Like, it was exciting. Like, and Joe, that's what everyone loves to see. Like, so just more of that kind of thing, and more of the same, I'd be saying, for me, in relation to when you're watching the game. Like, and that's what I would say. But definitely, I think the kick-out mark and the black cards have helped in certain ways.
You want to be rewarded for ability rather than cuteness is kind of what you're touching at there. Yeah. Two quick ones, Shane, I'll let you go, I promise. Keane O'Neill's appointment to the Galway backroom team, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I suppose, like, Keane has a lot of experience. Joe, he's been around with, like, I suppose, all Ireland winning sides, and that he was with Liam Sheedy back in 2010, and with Ian Fitzmaurice in 2014 with Kerry, and then he was involved with Kildare for a couple of years there, and been with Cork as well. So, like, Joe, huge experience. Like, and Joe, I'm looking forward to, cracking his head open and seeing what we can work together on, because Joe, like, that's what you kind of want to do. For me, you're always looking to learn off anyone that comes in, be it someone that knows nothing about football to someone that has huge experience. And, like, obviously the people with more experience, you're going to gain a lot more knowledge of their experience as well. And Joe, I said Keane's been around now a while, and he's seen the game. He's been involved in the game right up to this date. Like, so it's going to be great to see what he's going to bring to the table. And I'm sure Keane would say the same relation to work with us, as in we've some very, very talented players in our setup and lads coming through. And so he's going to see that, and he's going to want to see how he can help those players. And I do think we will find a great balance with them. But just as I said, that's all we'll have to wait until we get back training.
It'll be interesting to see how it pans out. Finally, I know we haven't had a full run of it yet with the pandemic we've gone through. Split season, even the bits that have been done so far, is that the way for the future for Gaelic football?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's something that's fair. At least you don't have one completely dominating the other. Like, and even that's why I was saying with like the proposal B, like once I'd be happy enough, once it doesn't impact on the club season, because like even as it is, like it's very hard to kind of get it right, because you don't want the inter-county season played in winter conditions, but the club season then gets played in the winter conditions. And it's tough because obviously someone has to play at the time of year when the pitches aren't as fresh or as hard. Like, Joe, for me, even like I love the hard ground. Like, Joe, you love playing at that time of year. So be a club or inter-county, once you're playing at that time of year, you're happy out. But I think it's a fair balance in relation to actually splitting the season, and it gives there's an opportunity there as well to have a break as well from it as well, which is quite hard to do, but like it is needed. Like, you do need that kind of downtime to kind of say, all right, let's not think training, let's not think football, Joe, as such. Like, Joe, as in that you're not on the go in the car all the time to a game or something like that. Now, each to their own, I suppose, in that regard. But like for me, I enjoyed watching football. I'd watch, if I wasn't watching a game live, I'd be watching it on TV, or I'd be watching a recording of a game. And so like that's just the way I am. You're always kind of looking for different things in games to learn different aspects of it, because I said I don't know at all. I said I can only talk about the bits I've learned up to this date, but at the same time you're still trying to learn from different players. So but it definitely is a great incentive, the fact that they went with the split season, because at least then before it was a case of, like, I remember years ago, like we had 11 weeks of a gap between the last league game and a Connacht semi-final. Like, imagine the time frame that could have been saved there by bringing that forward and the club season starting earlier, whereas instead you'd have a club season been ran off nearly in the blink of an eye nearly the week after championship, whereas like this year we actually had a couple of weeks after the season finished with Galway. And so like it is a tough inter-county season. Like, players need to come down of it first before you go applying yourself to the club, because you want to give your club absolutely everything. But like, it is hard for players. Like, every player will be the same way. Like, you have that kind of element of training for months before the club lad even back training at a really high level, really intense. And then you do want that week or two to switch off and then get back to your club, and then you can give your all for the club then. And Joe, that's the best thing about that. I found that there was a couple of weeks grace to get back in training. Obviously I wasn't able to with the shoulder straight away, but Joe, I just think for every player that it's important to have that bit of downtime, and then bang, you're into your club season. You can give it everything for your club, enjoy the club season. Hopefully, obviously everyone's hoping their club wins it, be it intermediate, junior, senior or whatever. But I definitely think they're going the right way with that balanced approach.
Well, Shane, we wish you the best of luck with Galway and with Kilkerran Clonburn in 2022 and the upcoming All-Stars as well. Hopefully you can bring something back for Galway too. Shane Walsh was talking to us on the 50th anniversary of Féile, celebrated this year. Of course, Féile started in 1971. Shane, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you. Hopefully the first of many times, whether it's in the commentary box or like this again. But thanks a million for joining us here on Galway Bay FM.
Cheers, Darren. Thanks very much.